Okay, please stand for our praise song on 2163, He Who Began a Good Work in You. Wonderful singing. Please remain standing for the call to worship. God has been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth.
God was ever, from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? Can we start this over? I'll get my act together here. Okay, let's start at the beginning. God has been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth.
Before the earth and sky were formed.
God was from everlasting to everlasting.
We come to worship this day.
That God may gather us in.
We will be close to God's heart.
And we will dwell in God's grace.
We will love God fully.
Your giving nature amazes us. You have given us yourself. You have given us your work. You only ask for love in return, for you and for the world. You put your ministry into our hands, trusting us to be your hands. Bless the work of our hands and the ministries of our hearts, O God, as we seek to do your will. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I know exactly how that happens. Because I feel like I'm in the wrong place, because in KPAC I do the leader.
Well, thank you.
And you're used to doing the people.
People.
And so here we are. I'm looking to see if I'm reading the right thing, and you're looking to see if you're reading the right thing.
Maybe we need to read both. I don't know. Thank you. Thank you for getting me out of that. One of those mornings. One of those mornings, huh? Okay, shall we start again?
Okay. Number 64.
I remain standing again for Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, our opening hymn.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church as we are in progress. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of this world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message today, and I am Bev Shoemaker, your worship leader for this morning. And we are now going to our children's time. Look at all these wonderful kids.
Woo-hoo. Yes, we are going to children's time. I am moving over there. And a half since I've seen you. You are probably towering over me. I think so. He's quite a grown-up guy these days, and we're glad that you're all here. Every time I see you, you're more mature in your faith, I think, and you're just growing all the time, spiritually as well as physically. So anyway, I want to talk to you this morning about neighbors, because I'm going to talk a little bit about neighbors this morning when I do my sermon and my message. Do you all have really good neighbors? Do you know what it's like to be a neighbor, a good neighbor? Because it's not necessarily just the person that lives next to us, right? Our neighbor can be somebody that we're acquainted with. Maybe they live a mile down the road, but we consider them our neighbors, don't we? So what does it mean to be a good neighbor? What do you think? Anybody have any ideas? Anyone want to take the mic and do a sermon about that? No? No? They look after us. That's a good word. That's a good. They look after us. I know that Peyton and Easton have good neighbors. Sometimes when electricity goes out or whatever, and I know my mom and dad used to live there before Peyton and Easton, and Tiffany and Chris did, and anyway, one time they didn't have electricity, and they brought them over a great big bucket full of water so that they could have some fresh water to use. Being a good neighbor is looking for what is lacking and seeing if we can fill that void, right? To see if we can help out our neighbors. Do you have people in school that you would consider your neighbors? Somebody that sits on this desk or this desk. Maybe they sit behind you. Or maybe they have a locker next to you. No, we're not talking this morning. That happened in KPAC too this morning. Everybody was really quiet. I don't know why that is. And we had to start over once too, Bev, so don't feel bad, because we started over once in KPAC too. That just happens. Some Sundays that just happens. Sometimes it's on Monday or Tuesday too that we have to start over. But back to the neighbor thing. We are responsible to be a good neighbor, aren't we? So when somebody needs something, maybe you've shared a pencil from out of your backpack before when somebody forgot to bring their pencil or a folder or something. Maybe you've shared something like that. Or maybe when somebody didn't bring their lunch, you gave them half of your sandwich or something like that. There's so many ways we get to be good neighbors. And it doesn't stop when you're out of school. It happens when you're older as well. We look to see what we can do to help our neighbors, because we really, really appreciate it when our neighbors help us, don't we? So thank you this morning for coming up here. And I know you're not real talkative, but we love you anyway. You don't have to talk, do you? No, but you do have to. Jesus tells us we do have to be a good neighbor. And we have to love God, and we have to love our neighbors, right? As ourselves. Let's pray together, kids.
Thank you, Jesus, for helping us learn that lesson a little more every day of our lives, especially when we've been on the receiving end of getting so much and receiving so much from you, Lord. We love you, and Lord, help us be strong and help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Very quiet, but I know they have lots on their heart. Lots on their heart. Our Old Testament reading today comes from Psalm 90, verses 1 through 6, and then 13 through 17 on my reading from the NIV version today. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains you were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turned people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night." Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants. May your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. May God add his blessing upon the reading of his word. Amen.
Unspoken needs this morning in the room? Any unspoken needs? Yes. Thank you, Lord, for hearing those unspoken needs. The altar is open. We are going to be praying. Our business of the week is TNT equipment. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God of mercy, we hear your command to love one another. These words are easy to say, yet so difficult to do. If only loving could be as natural as breathing, but it takes work and it takes dedication. Even when we think that we're following you, God, it's easy to get distracted, overwhelmed, turned around, even lost. We turn to the loud praise of the world rather than the quiet whisper of your blessing. We do the simple, the easy, the least resistant, and leave the difficult behind. Turn us around, God. Turn us back to you when we've wandered, when we've suffered, or when we bring suffering to others. Lord, show us once more what love looks like and send us into the world to try and try again. Lord, hear our prayer this day for Israel and for the war and the conflict in that whole entire area and everyone that is affected by it. For the mass shooting this week, so many other tragedies that may not particularly directly affect our family, But Lord, as our neighbors, we know that we need to lift them before your throne of grace. Lord, you call us to be intercessors in our prayer, intercessors in our caring, that we need to be aware and open and awake to what others need around us, that we might help, that we might come at just the perfect time, even if it's just with a bucket full of water. Lord, we thank you for your presence here in this service today, for your Holy Spirit that you've sent into your house. Lord, bless us and keep us. Help us to be those folks that you've called us to be, those Christian folks, those good neighbors that love God and then love their neighbor. Teach us, Lord, we can't do it on our own. Guide us and show us your ways. We pray that you'll continue the good work that you began. Just like we sang this morning in our praise song, he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Will be faithful to complete it in you and in me. He's promised us that. Lord, you've promised us, and I know that you don't go back on a word that you've given to us. So, Lord, your faithfulness overwhelms us. For those that are struggling right now, Lord, for those that are grieving, for those that are going through some huge things within their families, Lord, we just ask for strength and perseverance. Strength in the midst of troubles that face us from time to time. Tragedies and loss. Grief. So many things, Lord, so many emotions. We ask that you would touch us and give us your strength today. Minister to each one, Lord, that is in your care. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Remembering the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now we'll have our choir anthem, Angels Among Us.
I was walking home from school one day on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods, and I lost my way. It was getting late, and I was scared and alone. Then a kind person came along and took my hand and led me home.
Set down to the nose, from somewhere above.
was down on my knees, there was always been someone to come and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger, to lend a helping hand. A phone call from a friend that says, I understand.
Our scripture reading this morning from the New Testament is taken from Matthew chapter 22, starting with verse 34. I don't know about your Bible, but in my Bible, it's entitled The Great Commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. He said to them, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he said, the Lord said to my God, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today. Yep, the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Amen. You ever heard the phrase, just give it to me in a nutshell? You even see that, you hear that on movies even, don't you? They'll say, you know, a doctor will be explaining something in great detail, and they'll say, just cut to the chase. I don't understand a word you're saying, just tell it to me straight. Just tell it to me straight. It's a very old saying, tell me what I need to know, but keep it short. Don't bother me with unnecessary detail. Don't bore me with a long technical explanation. Just tell me the bottom line. So many times that's what we'd like to say. We just like things short and sweet. Network television news has time only to hit the high spots and to show maybe a few pictures, but it gives us a big picture in a few minutes. And we like that. Give it to me in a nutshell. That's what this person, and we're going to call in for a moment a lawyer, said to Jesus. Give it to me in a nutshell. At least that's what he meant. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? The man isn't a lawyer as we know lawyers today. He was a religious scholar. The law was Jewish Torah law, Old Testament commandments. There were 613 such laws. You're familiar with some of them. Some of them include, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Others might be a little less familiar. One law, for example, forbade boiling a calf in its mother's milk. Observant Jews today still take care not to mix meat and milk together. Many observant families have one set of dishes for meat and another set for dairy products. So when this lawyer asked Jesus, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He was asking about Torah law, religious commandments. Matthew tells us that this lawyer asked Jesus this question to test him. The New Testament was written originally in Greek, and the Greek word here is perazo. The lawyer asked Jesus this to perazo him. Perazo means tempt. It's the word that's used in the story of Jesus' temptation as well. The devil tempted Jesus. Now this lawyer is testing Jesus as well. He's tempting him, trying to trip him up. If he can just get Jesus to pronounce one law most important, this lawyer is sure that he can twist things to embarrass Jesus, to discredit him. That was what he intends to do. Don't you wish that you were a little more like Jesus and had the answer, the perfect answer, the perfect moment, the perfect time? He always does, doesn't he? We think a day and a half later, I should have said this. I should have done that. But Jesus knows instantly how he needs to speak, or sometimes how he needs to not speak. We know that happens too. Jesus knows what's going on. He's not pulling anything over on him. He understands that the man is not his friend. In fact, this man is his enemy. He understands that he's treading on dangerous ground. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that, being challenged out of the blue by a person whom you knew was not your friend, put on the spot by someone trying to trip you up, to get you to make a mistake. It can be pretty scary.
But Jesus didn't let it faze him, not in the least. He didn't hesitate for a moment. He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likewise, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." Great answer, Jesus. Most of us have heard this story before. This isn't the first time, I know. And knew ahead of time what Jesus was going to say. Love God. Love your neighbor. Good answer. How could anyone argue with that? But the next question comes to mind. How can anyone do that? Love God, love your neighbor. Love God usually isn't a problem. At least it's not a problem when things are going really well. During those times of our lives when we're healthy and we're doing well and we don't have any real heavy burdens to carry, it's really easy to love God. Thank you, God, for our good lives. Thank you, God, for our family, our health, our jobs. Thank you, God, for all of our things that you give us. It's easy enough to love God when things are going really well, although sometimes we forget God when things are going well, don't we? We think, you know, oh, we're cruising along here pretty good without too many bumps in the road. Maybe he just gets pushed aside a little bit. I don't think we intentionally do it, but we think we're doing pretty good on our own. Ironically, it's often possible to love God when things are going really badly as well. In fact, sometimes when life brings us to our knees, that's the point in which we see God the biggest. Then we find time to pray. Illness, pray. Child trouble, pray. Need a job, pray. Life seems to be crumbling. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Right? We've been told that over and over again. Pray without ceasing. John Wesley prayed breath prayers. Maybe it's Jesus, be with me. Jesus, I don't have the answer. Jesus, help me be strong. You know, it doesn't have to be a long, eloquent, long words. It's a cut to the chase. In a nutshell, what do we need? Jesus, right? Good mentor friend of mine always said, if you don't know what to pray, just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just pray the name of Jesus and he's going to hear you and he's going to know you and he's going to recognize your voice and he's going to be there for you. Sometimes when things go badly, we know people that have turned away from God as well. I know people that have felt like when they've lost a loved one, someone precious to them, that have said, God didn't hear my prayers. Or, why did God do that to me? They feel like God was not their friend. They felt like God was even maybe their enemy. I know some years back, there was a popular film actress that she had a little bit too much to drink. She fell off a boat and she drowned. One of her friends was reported as asking, how could God let this happen? This friend was really, really angry with God because of this situation. Losing her friend drowning. But most of the time when things are going bad, we find it easy to love God because we realize that we need God's help. We want God near us. And that he is our strength, he is our shield, and he will never leave our side. Now, love your neighbor. We get to that part now. Sometimes that depends on who our neighbor happens to be, right? We're just being honest, right? We're just being honest this morning.
Everybody's pointing at poor innocent Connie back there.
It's a true statement. You know, you might be fortunate to have really great neighbors. And some are challenged by that. I had a friend that I didn't see this personally with my eyes, but I saw pictures. And she would post on Facebook about the challenges with her neighbor. And one day she woke up and looked out, and her neighbor had cut the tree in half, the part that was overhanging onto her property, or his property. He completely cut the tree in half. Now, I think that was defeating the purpose just a little bit, because if it was leaves that were the problem, I'm pretty sure that those leaves aren't going to stop at that border of the property. Pretty sure. At least it doesn't work that way at the parsonage, I know that. Silent confession that the wind blows in the right direction, you know, it blows them somewhere, but yeah. It really wasn't getting this person anywhere, was it, other than spite and revenge by cutting that tree in half? I had to, you know, I was sympathetic, I'm telling you. But I also had to smile when I saw the picture because I thought, that's pretty comical. And how petty. Sometimes do our actions become kind of petty? Because that certainly was an example that I won't forget in my mind. As much as I smile when I see that half a tree, I know that that was not taking care of the problem. The real issue was different, wasn't it? The real issue probably had nothing to do with the tree, really. And sometimes we can lash out. And that's what we lash out about. We've probably done it to our spouse. We've probably done it to our friends. We lash out about something, and it's probably not the root of the real problem. Sometimes we have real serious neighbor problems. Maybe they're ones at work. People who we have a real challenge with. And we might even say we really can't even stand to be around them. But maybe we work with them every single day. Maybe we compete with them for something in the community. I know we've had community uprisings in KPAC before and in other areas as well, where they're all competing for a position or something like that. We can have really hostile neighbors, and I hope that we have never been those hostile neighbors. I read about a man who got mad at his neighbor and began retaliating, blowing his leaves into her lawn, plowing his snow onto her yard. At some point, she called the police. The two neighbors now in court, terrible situation. And neither one wins. It's easy enough to love a neighbor who's doing the right things, who is kind, compassionate, respectful. But what about the neighbor who's not? How do we love such a person? And we're called to love those folks. It might help to know that the love about which Jesus is speaking is not the warm, fuzzy feelings that we think about when we talk about love. The commandment about loving your neighbor actually comes from Leviticus 19. That chapter gives us a picture of neighborly love. It says that if we love our neighbor, these are a few things that it states. We don't render an unjust judgment. We won't let a person's money or lack of it affect our relationship. We will judge the neighbor with justice. We won't engage in slander. We won't profit by the blood of the neighbor. We won't hate. We won't take vengeance or bear a grudge. Note that in none of those did it mention anything about warm, fuzzy feelings. There's nothing about enjoying the neighbor's company. Love in that context is more about how we act than how we feel, although it does prohibit hate and grudge bearing. How do we get through a day without a little grudge bearing? Well, that's a good question. How do we go through life avoiding the bad things that Jesus wants us to avoid, all the while doing the good things that he wants us to do? How can we keep from saying bad things about our neighbor, especially when our neighbor deserves it, or we feel they deserve it? How can we control our feelings? How can we keep from not being very nice to a bad neighbor? The answer is that we can't, at least not on our own. I can tell myself every day not to hate my neighbor and end up hating myself for hating my neighbor. I can try really hard not to engage in grudge bearing, but it probably isn't going to work. If I'm going to love my neighbor, the very first thing I'm told to do by the Lord is I have to first love God. I have to learn about God's love. I have to know his love. I have to accept that I can freely receive that love, even on the days I'm unlovable. And when you know the nature of God and you know the nature of that kind of love, it's a little easier to love your neighbor. It's a little easier to pass that on. Because I know how undeserving I am on many days. And yet, the Lord died on the cross for me. So I have to learn to forgive. I had a conversation with a teenager this week about that very thing, that we may not forget, but we can forgive. Because forgiveness, if we don't give it, it only eats us alive. We have to let it go. As Hollis shares with me many times, either your neighbor doesn't know or they don't care. It's about you and what you do with that forgiveness. And it's very true. We hold on to things that have been long forgotten, maybe by the person who was the perpetrator for those things. The one who hurt us deeply. I don't know if you've ever had the experience, but I have. I'll say, you know, maybe you're in the heat of an argument or something, and you'll say, "Remember when you did that?" They'll say, "I never did that." Yeah, yep, you did. Because it's right in here and I'm not forgetting it. Maybe I let it go and maybe I didn't if I brought it back up again, right? But nevertheless, a lot of times we don't remember. Or we think it's something that someone should just pass on, you know. My indiscretions that I do, you should just forget, right? But what I do to you, maybe it was just even more so painful. And it was done maybe unintentionally. But forgiveness is key. And we think back to this commandment and we think about knowing and accepting that love that God has given to us. That comes first. And when we've received that, it's a little easier to pass that love on. We might find it impossible to love our neighbor, but it becomes possible when we first love God. He not only tells us to love our neighbor, God reshapes our hearts to make it possible. And as I mentioned in last week's message, he never gives us anything that is not possible with him. He makes things possible that we can't do on our own. So these two loves go together, love of God and love of neighbor. We can't really love our neighbor unless we first know that love of God. And we can't really demonstrate our love for God without our neighbor. We get an opportunity to do that when we love our neighbor. It might sound very academic, but it's really very practical. I read this little story about a man who said he advised his son. He had been in many bad relationships, and he said, I advise my son to look for a woman who loves Jesus. There are a number of good reasons to do so, but one reason is that a woman who loves Jesus will continue to love her husband, or at least try to love her husband, even when he doesn't deserve it. Every marriage has rough places, times when love is threadbare. Every couple comes to a place where one or more question whether they should continue on together. In those tough times, loving Jesus can help. It doesn't solve every problem. It doesn't save every marriage. But loving Jesus makes it possible for us to love the people near us, even when we don't feel very loving, even when they don't deserve our love, in our opinion anyway. And one last thought. As I said, the love of which Jesus speaks here is more about what we do than how we feel. Jesus isn't calling for us to feel warm feelings for our neighbor. He's calling us to show our love for God by our obedience to him. And he's calling us to love our neighbor by acting in loving ways, by acts of kindness, by loving service, by gentle words and generous deeds. What we will find if we do this, if we obey God and do good deeds for our neighbor, is that feelings follow actions. Our loving actions will help us in God's time to feel the warmth and the affection that we could never feel otherwise. The Lord is asking us today to love God and love your neighbor. Doesn't mean you have to be their best friend, but it means kindness goes a long ways, doesn't it? Kindness and gentleness. It's God's way, and if it's God's way, it has to be a very good way. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we know that we can't do any of this on our own. And that at times we have to step up and speak your truth, which may be words that others don't want to hear. But you also ask us to do it with kindness and gentleness when possible, and patience when possible. You call us to remember you first. And so we thank you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We can have our ushers come forward for our morning offering of gifts and tithes. Thank you.
given us mercy, you've given us love, you've been our calling, and you've been our home. Take now our hands and feet, O God, and use them for your purposes. Take now the offering of our hearts, minds, and souls. Transform them into your love, your mercy, and your everlasting grace for all the world. Amen. Closing hymn is number 73, O Worship the King.
Thank you for being here. God bless your day.